I write a lot about body parts. She looked at her. What? Body parts? What? Well, the reason for that is because I am thrilled with my body parts, you know. And people say men don't write about body parts that much. Well, they don't have the thrilling body parts that I have. That's why. And I'm excited. All the women applaud. And also, I live in a culture where age, where you're supposed to be 18 to 20, and I'm not. I know you guessed that, but it's true. You're supposed to not have gray hair, and I love my hair. It's white, and I think it's wonderful. And you're supposed to be about 125, and I was born wearing more than that. Trust me. So I like to celebrate the wonderfulness that I am. And this universal poem is called Homage to My Hips. These hips are big hips. They need space to move around in. They don't fit into little petty places. These hips are free hips. They don't like to be held back. These hips have never been enslaved. They go where they want to go. They do what they want to do. These hips are mighty hips. These hips are magic hips. I have known them to put a spell on a man and to spin him like a top.
Who you just heard was the incredible poet Lucille Clifton, who was one of the Baltimore's great poets. Even though she was born in New York, this is where she lived her life. She taught here, she worked here, she wrote here. She and I were neighbors for years in Windsor Hills, and dear friends of other friends of ours who lived and worked at St. Mary's College in Southern Maryland. She was the Poet Laureate of Maryland, and she received the Robert Frost Medal for Lifetime Achievement from the Poetry Society of America shortly after she passed away. She was just unbelievable. Her poetry was included in Langston Hughes' anthology, The Poetry of the Negro. Her first collection, called Good Times, was published in 1969 and listed in the New York Times as one of the 10 best books of the year. And she became the first author to have two books of poetry chosen to be finalists in the Pulitzer Prize. But she was also a dear human being, a great figure for social justice, a lovely friend, and a very powerful woman. And so we honor her today on this day in history because this is the day she was born, on June the 27th, 1936. And you can go to our website, stanishow.org, and hear conversations we've had with Lucille Clifton and about Lucille Clifton. So on this day in history, June 27th, a lot did happen. Let's go through some of it. On this day in 1766, a man was born whose name was Pierre Toussaint, known as the Venerable Pierre Toussaint. He was born a slave in Santo Domingo, which is now Haiti, and was sold to people in New York, what's now New York City, in 1787. And he became apprenticed with his hairdresser. And he received his freedom after the person who owned him died. And he went on to amass a huge fortune, as a hairdresser. And he purchased the freedom of the woman he loved, who became his wife. And they made so much money back in that day that he became a philanthropist. He opened a shelter for orphans and began the city's first school for African-American kids. And he played a huge role in the founding, we don't talk much about this, the founding of St. Patrick's Cathedral in Lower Manhattan. And it is his money that created the Oblate Sisters of Providence, a community of black nuns founded here in Baltimore, Maryland, that are still here. People just say his generosity was boundless. He was supposed to be this amazing human being. And he created a bank, actually it was a credit bank, Bureau for African Americans, an employment agency, a guest house where people could stay on their way through since blacks couldn't stay anywhere else. And he died in 1855, and they exhumed his body in 1990 and put it in a crypt below the altar of St. Patrick's Cathedral, finally recognizing what this man did. And then Pope John Paul made him venerable, a step below sainthood, Venerable Pierre Toussaint, one of our great, amazing heroes, connected right here to our world in Baltimore. We've all heard in schools about the Liberty Bell. Well, it was this year in 1778 that the Liberty Bell actually came home to Philadelphia after the war was over with the British, the War of Independence, because the bell was removed by people who were afraid it was melted down and made into bullets and other kinds of munitions. So they hid it in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and Allentown, Pennsylvania, kept moving it and guarding it so no one could take the Liberty Bell, which really was a symbol for many of freedom in this country, and then returned it in 1778 and put it where it is now, in the renovated Philadelphia State House. And in 1833, There's a woman named Prudence Crandall. She's a white woman who was arrested for teaching black children, black girls, in an academy in Canterbury, New York. She was born to this Quaker family in 1803, and she started the school for girls in Canterbury. And then in 1833, a young African-American girl by the name of Sarah Harris became a student at the school. And everybody wanted to have her shut the school down, to ban this kid from coming to school. There were demonstrations. People threw rocks, took the girls out of the school. And what she decided to do is she refused to take this child out. So she redid the academy and became an academy for African-American girls. And it was attacked literally by stones and eggs and manure and tearing down buildings and burning down buildings. They didn't believe, people did not believe that African-American children, especially girls, should have the right to learn anything in school. In the past, this thing called the Black Laws in Canterbury, Connecticut, that said it was illegal to open schools or academies that taught African-American students. She refused to back down. She was arrested, put in jail. First trial ended in a hung jury. Second trial, she was found guilty. That was overturned, but she was forced to flee and to close the schools a year later. Actually, on September the 10th in 1834, because she was terrified that the kids would be killed in that school after it had been ransacked by the crazed mob. But we remember her on this day when she was arrested in 1833. 1847, the telecommunications revolution begins. On this day, New York and Boston are linked by telegraph wires. This is in 1869. The great anarchist leader Emma Goldman was born. She became a revolutionary leader of this country. Believed in anarchism as a vision for absolute freedom, liberty, and social justice. She fought against poverty, fought for the workers, fought against exploitation, fought against sexism, was a fighter for women's rights and the right to use birth control, even back then in the 19th century and the turn of the 20th century. She was arrested once in 1893 when there was a panic just like the one we had when the stock market blew up and unemployment went up to 20 and 30%. And she led a demonstration. In the demonstration, she told the crowd, "Well then, demonstrate before the palaces of the rich. Demand work. If they don't give you work, demand bread. If they deny you both, go in and take the bread." So she was arrested for inciting to riot and put in prison, but never stopped fighting to the day that she died on May 14th, 1940, when she died of a stroke. On this day in 1893, George Dixon became the first African-American boxing champ, the great Bantamweight himself. Wars always start bit by bit, don't they? We trickle in advisors and things explode and become war. Well, on this day in 1950, Harry Truman sent the first 35 military advisors to South Vietnam. And so it began. On this day in 1954, the CIA overthrew a man named Jacobo Arbenz, who was the duly elected president of Guatemala in 1954. The U.S. didn't like him because he allowed the Communist Party freedom in that country, but even more, they didn't like him because of his efforts to give workers rights and cut into the profits of United Fruit. He gave them housing, demanded that they have higher wages, and he sought really to eradicate poverty, ended debt slavery, gave people houses, and it caused fear on the part of people like the United Fruit Company owners. So the United States government, through the CIA, overthrew Arbenz, which started this series for the next 40 years of the most horrendous wars in Central America between guerrillas fighting for freedom and the dictators we installed. On this day in 1969, there's something called the Stonewall Riots began. The Stonewall Inn was a popular gay club on Christopher Street. And in New York at that time, in the 1960s, they literally would go around arresting by the dozens gay people for being in bars together and then haul them off to jail. So this time the police came in to arrest folks, and folks said no, and they fought back. And it became a major turning point in the history of gay rights and civil rights and the movement in this country. This was the day in 1990 that Salman Rushdie was given the fatwa for his book by the Iranian government. So that is this day in history, but let me give you one little quick one. There's a man named Frederick McKinley Jones, born in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He received a patent for the invention of a ticket dispensing machine. He's the man who made the ticket dispensing machine. He also designed portable air cooling units for trucks and who carry perishable goods. It created a whole new industry and market. And he was an amazing inventor in medicine and food and preserving blood and more. He was an African-American inventor and received that patent on this day, June 27th, 1939. And that is our day in history. And you can find the rest at steinershow.org. We'll be right back.